Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Best of the Week is brought to you by Ace Hardware. Roll it.
Fired up and ready to go.
This is a Ben Stiller movie waiting to happen.
I was an elite kickball player at one point in my life.
I'm the captain now.
Is that McNutt?
This is the McMaybe.
We love when Jeff Darlington spins things.
It's so tiring. I mean, come on.
He's like an old, tired Rottweiler, and I'm just a chihuahua constantly.
You better be glad I love you like I do.
How old were you, Greeny?
I don't know. This is probably 15 years ago. So, I mean, I was, you know, in my early 20s.
If I'm a supervillain, none of this is scaring me.
Show everyone what you did earlier.
Just Greeny, come on.
Made me feel very small.
But if Brady plays for the Raiders this year, I'll shave my eyebrows.
Well, now we're all rooting for it.
Zach, why do you think the Knicks win tonight?
I don't know.
Brain fart, right? Want to move on from it.
Whoopsie.
BFFR. You know what that means?
Best friends forever, really?
No. Beef. Freaking for real.
Who is this?
I got him freshman year in college. Mm-mm. He's so cute.
All I have for Andrea is BFFR. You've got to be kidding me right now.
I'm afraid of snakes. I don't like anything that can walk without legs.
I got another one for you. GTFOH. Look that one up because that's how I feel about that one.
Fun week. I mean, so delighted. We are so grateful that everybody chooses to get up with us every single morning. We have a huge hour coming your way. We're live here at the Seaport. We're brought to you by Grey Goose. The squad is ready this morning. We got Wendy. We got Shanae. Stephen A. is on the way in this hour. Jay Will and Alan Hahn. Let's do it. The sixth act of the Shakespearean tragedy took place in Philadelphia last night. What a series it has been. Joel Embiid and the Sixers. Jalen Brunson and the Knicks. Here's how it started. Knicks went way ahead. Sixers came all the way back. And of course, it's tied in the fourth quarter because it always is. Jalen Brunson, spectacular here. And then it's going to be OG Anunoby on the play. Boom, that's Brunson again.
Jalen Brunson with 14 points in the fourth quarter. You know, and just look, a lot of these defensive breakdowns by Philly, the Knicks were able to capitalize, and here was one of them.
He throws that one down. The Knicks take an 8-point lead. So once again, it looks like they've got it in the bag, just like they had two nights before. But the Sixers don't give up. It's Maxey again.
I'm going to go with that man. He has an uncanny way of finishing as he's falling to the ground. What a shot.
He had a tough night last night, but he makes the huge play there. And then the huge offensive putback from Kelly Oubre. And the Sixers are right back in it. It's a 1-point game with a minute left. Here we go. Final minute. It's Brunson. This is going to be called a foul on Oubre. Ooh. Fouled him with his face. There's really no other way to say.
Move by Jalen Brunson, right? To feel him towering over and jump back.
The guy at the baseline's like, that's not a basketball play.
But he misses the free throw, so the Knicks lead is 3. And then watch what happens. Maxey, the foul is on Hartenstein, and then they look at it, and it's a goaltend. And Alan, it's a good call, right?
Yeah, it is. You got a fingertip on it. Look at it. It just hits the backboard first before the fingertip gets it. They reviewed this for a while.
And so we're tied again. Final 30 seconds. Mike Breen.
Brunson double team right away. Hart has it. Gives it right back to Brunson. Brunson drives. Kicks it up top to Hart. Hart puts up a three. Bang! Josh Hart from downtown!
Hart comes up with a huge one in the building that he and his Villanova teammates once hung those banners. He was staring at him last night. Knicks up by 3. Sixers, last chance. Got to go to Maxey, right? Got to go to Maxey. There he is in the backcourt.
At least look at Maxey. Look at him.
It's Buddy Hield on the heave.
No, Greeny.
That's how it ends. We're going to break down that play in a moment because it makes no sense to any of us, one way or another. The Knicks survive and advance.
I feel great, man. Obviously, this is a tough team. Teams were ducking them for a reason. We knew it would be a tough series. So coming into a tough place like this and getting a win and closing out the series, man, it means a lot.
It sucks to lose. The goal is to win a championship. Anytime that don't happen, that's all I care about. I don't care, you know, if I got to the second round. That does not mean anything to me. I got to be better, starting with myself, you know, the whole series. I could have played better. I mean, maybe if I was, you know, better, we would have won it. So that's on me.
the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat, and look at how close this series was. Over the course of six games, the Knicks outscored the Sixers by 1 point. They shot the same from the floor. They shot essentially the same from three. It couldn't be closer than it was. And so when it is that close, it comes down to the littlest of things. And Jay Will is jumping up and down. Okay, someone make sense of, show it to us. The last play, the Sixers' last chance.
Just give me the play. I mean, just Tyrese Maxey made like a 40-footer, and Nicholas Batum does not even look at him. Now, I know Buddy Hill was on a hot streak, but it was almost like Tyrese Maxey was a decoy. Ow. How does your best player with Joel Embiid out of the game not even get the ball?
He never looks at him. That's the point. One of the points you're making here is they never even look in that direction.
And well, why isn't the play designed for Maxey?
Let me throw the question at you. As we're watching it here, we can watch it again and again, Cindy, if you can. Keep rolling it as much as you can. Oh. Because the big conversation at the end of game five was why didn't they foul? So what I'm thinking is, if I'm Nick Nurse, I'm thinking if I throw that ball in the backcourt to Tyrese Maxey, they're going to hug him. They're going to there's no way in the world they're going to let him shoot a three.
They were fouling to put him on the line so they couldn't take threes, because that was
my
the lesson learned from
so
game
that's
five.
Why. But the decoy piece of it, look, he never really looks in that direction. And they got off this. There's still 3.5 seconds left in the game. He's heaving this thing like it's at the buzzer. That looked to me. Hey guys,
if you look at McBride's hand right here,
trying to draw
he holds on right there. He reaches and look at his arms. He's recoiling his arms back. So Buddy Hield thinks he has a foul. That's why he hoists it up like that instead of having confidence.
So he wants the three foul shots.
Yes, he thinks there's going to be foul on that. McBride moves his hand back.
So again, it's the littlest things when a series is this close that can decide it. Chiney, you played it at a higher level as anybody. Talk to us here. What did you see in that final play and the execution down the stretch?
Jay Will, you're getting me. You're starting to work my blood pressure. You're getting me a little bit more and more, because as I watch that play, the more frustrated I get, because the Sixers, they had options. That's what they say is the best thing to have in life, options, right? They had an option to pass it early to Tyrese Maxey, and we know he's great downhill. Buddy Hield had an option to use the rest of the game clock, 3.4. We all know 3.4, you can get two dribbles off, you can pump fake, and then you can shoot. And he's a true shooter. And then lastly, the last option is Buddy could have kicked it back to Tyrese. That's a complete play where he would have been ahead of the defense that was caught backcourt, and he could have shot it just like we saw in the last game. They had options, but it looked like they panicked. And I think Brian alluded to this best earlier. They panicked because they didn't have their big man on the floor. That is the ultimate gravitational pull. And instead, they had to rely on themselves in that moment and not using those options that we saw. So it could have come down to play design and also basketball IQ.
Yeah, Embiid had fouled out of the game. Great point. For those of you who didn't stay up and watch, let me offer a defense. Because the one thing when these games end so late is, you know, you go right to sleep. And so I'm watching this now. Thoughts are coming into my head. Is it possible that Nick Nurse says to Buddy Hield, he's going to foul you immediately, so get a shot up, like the second you feel it. And so he thinks he's been fouled, to your point. What the coach's instruction may have been.
Yeah, because they were
the
doing
it. The second we get it in,
yes, right,
they're going to foul you. Right. So fling the ball at the basket, yep, because you're going to get the three free throws.
Yeah, and that was the Knicks plan. That was supposed to be the plan in game five. Didn't happen, so they were definitely going to be on point in this game. They did it twice. It was extending the game because you were not losing time. They were fouling too soon, and so they were getting more opportunities. So they were looking for it to happen one more time. He actually, after he shoots this, watch him turn and say, I got fouled. You can't see him in there. He goes out of the frame. But you'll see it here. He'll turn to the referee and say, I got hit. But they weren't going to give it to him. And I don't know if he did or not, because you see McBride does sweep in there. But that's execution at the end of the game. That's simply what that is. And the Knicks, look, five of the six games went to clutch time.
Yeah.
And in the Knicks were plus 13 in that clutch time. The Knicks were better when it mattered most late in the game. It was only game five that they were not able to.
McBride does reach the hand.
Yeah, his hand and sneak it out. Yeah.
We'll have to wait for the 2-minute report to find out if it should have been a foul.
Let me get. I don't need any more of those.
Everybody's favorite thing in the world, the 2-minute report. Let me go to Wendy here. Wendy, so the Knicks advance. And we'll talk so much. That's the little picture stuff, right? And when a series is that close, we can dive into all the little plays and the little moments. Let's go big picture. When the Knicks signed Jalen Brunson, I don't remember a lot of people saying, oh, here's a difference-making move. I remember a lot of people saying $104 million for Jalen Brunson. The Mavericks just let him walk out the door. What do we say this morning, Brian Windhorst?
In terms of the actual production per dollar, it's one of the great value contracts in the NBA, if not all of pro sports. And when they signed him, people thought he was one of the, you know, bottom 15 starters at the position in the NBA, which is why people thought that $100 million was a little bit too much. And that's why Dallas, who already had Luka Doncic, thought that. But when you look at free agents to change teams in the last 30 years and the impact that they've made, it's a very short list that could compare with Jalen Brunson. You're talking Shaquille O'Neal from the Magic to the Lakers, LeBron down to Miami and back to Cleveland, Steve Nash going to Phoenix from Dallas and winning a couple of MVPs, Kevin Durant going to Golden State. Now, obviously, those other players won at a high level. The Knicks haven't done that yet. But when you look at these last three games, they're historic in their level of dominance. And for him to go 40-40-40 and deliver on the road like this for a team that's had so much trouble finding a franchise player, you can't overstate the incredible value now and what it enables the Knicks to do to improve this roster. So many teams are very good but can't improve. The Knicks can only get better in the next couple of years.
Let me put the screen on Cindy, let's put the numbers up there just to point this out, because this is not a Knicks thing. This is one of the genuinely great playoff series that any player has ever had in the history of the NBA. The last player to score at least 39 points in four consecutive postseason games was Michael Jordan in 1993. Jalen Brunson, Chinee, I'll come back to you on this as the player. Just talk, what are we seeing in a player that, look, I'll admit it, I did not see this coming from under any circumstances as recently as a year and a half ago. How would you describe what Jalen Brunson is?
The way I describe Jalen Brunson is that he embodies the city in which he resides. He embodies the grit, the grind, the chip on the shoulder mindset, but also he embodies the star power that New York City has looked for, and he's brought it. And what I love about Brunson is it comes in a package that is unexpected. He's 6'2". He's someone who has to constantly work on his game. He's someone that does not shy away from the moment. But most importantly, he is a galvanizer. He is a catalyst. He is someone that makes you believe. If we're seeing his teammates like Dante DiVincenzo play every minute of a game, Josh Hart knock down shots. He's a 31% three-point shooter, but making the shots when it matters most in clutch time. But more importantly, his post players, they're ferocious on the board. Everyone's saying we won. The Knicks won based off of Brunson's heroics. It was really the boards that won them the game, and just the idea that they are undersized in certain positions, but they are relentless. It all stems from him.
Knicks at 48 rebounds to 46. Yes,
I just want to reiterate to people how hard it is to do when you are 6'6", 6'1", to go against guys like Kelly Oubre, who are 6'7", with a 7'3 wingspan, when your game isn't elite speed east to west, when you're doing things out of the half
or
court,
or jumping over you.
Or when you're going against Nicholas Batum's 6'8", 7'1 wingspan, it just puts into perspective how crazy it is. It's like an AI performance that you're watching
he's
from Jalen Brunson.
He's got the footwork of Hakeem Olajuwon. Crazy. Like, you think about it, he's a guard who has the footwork of Hakeem Olajuwon. Like, his footwork is incredible in the paint. But one thing about what Shanae said, Shanae nailed it, by the way, when it comes to the personality and why it fits in New York. I always say this, the Knicks jersey is the heaviest jersey in the NBA. There's so much expectations, the weight of it. Ask Carmelo Anthony what comes with putting that uniform on if you are a free agent that they bring in. It's all of a sudden, are you the savior? Are you the savior? He was, Mike Green said this, he was born to play basketball. He was also born to be a Knick because, first of all, he's got the blood in the ground. His father played there. He's known Tom Thibodeau forever. But also because he's got the kind of humility that you need. He is the guy that in this town, you can be a big personality, but you can't be too arrogant. You got to have that humility. He has that. And he often doesn't look the part, but he is the part. And that's the most important thing and why he's had success.
By the way, don't tell my close friend Michael Wilbon that he was born to be a Knick. He was born in Chicago, and whose jersey did he use?
He was born in New Jersey.
He grew up in Chicago.
Yeah, yeah. He used to practice at the Bertel Center with us when he was 5 or 6 years old.
Yeah.
His father played with me with the Chicago Bulls. I mean, yeah. we kind of lost him here.
Oh, come on. Don't be so modest. Whose jersey did he use to wear?
My jersey at 5 years old.
I've seen pictures of Jalen Brunson wearing a J. Will jersey when he was growing up. And so, one way or another, he now owns the town.
Yep.
They go on to play the Pacers, and we'll see what happens. Coming up, did the Knicks end the process, or is it actually just beginning in Philly? We'll tell you why, along with all the bad news, there's very good news for Embiid and Maxey. And then, don't miss it, do you think this is the happiest person in the world?
Oh,
Stephen A. will join us live in this hour, so you've been warned. This is going to be fun. Get up on ESPN.
Delicious, meet nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Two guys drove to work. Neither guy wore a seatbelt. One guy got a ticket. One guy didn't. The same two guys drove home. One guy wore his seatbelt. One guy didn't. One guy made it home. The guy not wearing his seatbelt didn't. Don't risk it. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Fires. Cut. Next. Before it. Over Hartenstein. The Baker goes.
So many twists and turns. It's going to be something else in a second.
Embiid cans a three and floats it in. Picture perfect jam.
Playing with the basketball, Brunson has been the closer.
Maxey with a herky jerky moves. Oh, he spins it in. Swing, hard, he connects. It's over. War of attrition is won by the Knicks.
No matter what the situation is, we're going to attack it. We're going to go out there. We're going to play our style of basketball. We're going to grind. We just know that every situation is different, and we need to approach it with the same mentality.
It was an unbelievable series in every way that a series can be spectacular. And so we talk about the Knicks. They go on, they'll play the Pacers. The Sixers go off into a summer in which our friend Bobby Marks said it's the most important offseason in the franchise's history. And you see why. Look at all the cap space they have. They have very tradable assets in some of these draft picks and more. So, Brian Windhorst, you were put on this earth to answer this question today. What should we expect the Sixers offseason to look like?
Well, so they have enough money to sign a maximum level free agent and then retain Tyrese Maxey. And we know team president Daryl Morey always looks for big game. That's what he wants to do. Now, the first man up is Paul George. He has not extended his contract despite months of talks with the LA Clippers. It was expected he would after Kawhi Leonard did earlier this season. They haven't come to terms. That doesn't mean that they won't come to terms, but if he hits free agency on July 1st, he would be the number one target for the 76ers. But you don't just have to use cap space on signing free agents. You can use it to take players in. So what you're looking for is teams that potentially have high-dollar players that they may want to release. And that one name that's going to come up, Jimmy Butler. He has 2 years left on his contract, and the expectation is he is going to seek an extension with the Heat. I'm not sure the Heat are in the mood to extend him, and if he doesn't get an agreement there, could there potentially be a move? Remember, they let him go a few years ago and signed Tobias Harris. Butler has gone on to lead the Heat to two finals. Tobias Harris is a real disappointment this year. They could correct it. Another player to watch who's eligible for an extension, but it could get interesting, is Brandon Ingram from the New Orleans Pelicans. This is a team that has never paid the luxury tax. They have to sign Trey Murphy to a giant extension this offseason. They already have Zion on their books. Can they come to terms with Brandon Ingram, who had a very disappointing playoff series against Oklahoma City Thunder? Maybe they do. But if they don't, and he becomes available on the trade market, this is a player that could be an offensive firepower that Philadelphia could get interested in. And there will be other names. Philadelphia, with the way they've played and the way Maxey's played and what they've got is available, has become a major offseason player coming up.
All right, fascinating. So, Chinay, let's go through some of those. I was just looking it up here. Jimmy Butler will be 35 when next season begins. Spoiler alert, I love him. But that's to me, that's the guy that I want if I'm Joel Embiid on my team. And they made the huge mistake once upon a time. But, Chinay, your opinion is much more valuable than mine. Do any of those guys that Wendy just named, in your mind, put the Sixers in a position where they are right there with Boston and could be in the NBA Finals next year?
No question to me, it's Paul George. I know you love Jimmy Butler and we celebrate his late game heroics, but the reason they struggled in the postseason was honestly, you know, the Heat, the unavailability of their stars down the stretch. And then on top of it, in the regular season, they just couldn't put up enough points. That's why they were potentially looking at Dame Lillard to help fix their 3-point per game problem. The reason why I go to Paul George is he gives you the solution to all of those things. He can carry you with points, 22 points per game in the regular season. Also in the postseason, he has the experience of being a former number one option, but chose to be a number two-ish, right? Playing with Kawhi and James Harden. And so now you know he has the experience off ball. He is, I don't know if you noticed this, Greeny, he's Gen Z's favorite player because of his isolation skills. Mm-hmm. And then on top of it, he's got the size to really make up for a future potentially without maybe Tobias Harris with that length on the perimeter. So you look at that. Paul George, to me, is a guy that you definitely want to put. And I think Wendy said it. He's number one on the list for a reason.
Paul George's birthday was yesterday actually. Yeah. He's 34 years old, so he's a year younger than Jimmy Butler.
I told you today on the call, the text should already be starting. I mean, Joel Embiid's really close with Mike Rubin, the all-white party in the Hamptons. Mm. Come on, PG. Mm. Come out here. I'm pulling a Draymond Green, Kevin Durant. I am recruiting him because defensively, I think he gives you an edge. I think he could play alongside Maxey. And also, I think with that pick-and-roll situation, could be with Joel Embiid, with Maxey playing off, and then vice versa. I think he's a versatile weapon that opens up the floor for them.
What's interesting is that last summer, the Knicks kind of flirted with the Paul George thing in the trade. They'd have to give him a max extension. They kind of hedged on that. Never really happened. So, I think the Knicks and Sixers aren't done competing with each other because this series showed you something, that the Sixers found Tyrese Maxey. They still have Embiid. They want to be a contender in the East. They're trying to build to be as good as Boston. So is New York. They're trying to do the same thing. There might be some players that they're both trying to compete with this offseason because everybody's trying to get to Boston's level.
Let me sell you on this. If the Sixers had either one, we just showed you that this was the difference in this series was 1 point over six games. Mm-hmm. So it goes without saying that if instead of Tobias Harris, the Sixers had either Jimmy Butler or Paul George, they probably would have won. But I mean, we'll see how that thing goes. But that's an enormous upgrade from what they currently had. And I don't know if they would have to lose anything else along the way. But Jimmy Butler in the post, if you're looking for someone to elevate in the biggest moments, someone who isn't afraid of the biggest moments, someone who is an unbelievable leader, whose team follows him and who always overachieves, like punches above his weight is the term you used earlier, that's the guy I want.
See, I might agree with you, but I also want Tyrese Maxey to mature to be the number one guy.
I really want him to feel like it's his team.
Would Jimmy Butler let that happen?
No, because Jimmy Butler is just such an alpha. He'll do that, where I think PG will help mold Tyrese.
Isn't it Embiid's team anyway? I mean, at the end of the day,
I don't think it is. I think people were wrong about that. I think he's the most talented player.
But he's not the magnet in that locker room.
It's Maxie.
Yeah.
I get that Maxie is the guy where, I mean, we're making him Batman, and we did the whole Batman and Robin thing yesterday, but I don't know. I mean, as long as Embiid is there, he's the elder statesman. He's been there for the longest, whatever. I don't, we'll see. One way or another, the point Wendy makes is the Sixers lose the battle. Maybe this summer they wind up winning the war. In the meantime.
Huge.
Buckle your seatbelts, everybody, because this is coming up next.
Boy.
Stephen A. is going to join us with his reaction to the incredible series we just watched. Don't miss it. Bottom of the hour, wake up call. Josh Hart, take it away, Mike Green.
Brunson double team right away. Hart has it. Gives it right back to Brunson. Brunson drives. Kicks it up top to Hart. Hart puts up a three. Bang! Josh Hart from downtown! The Knicks advance to the second round. Eliminate the Sixers in six games. What a series and what a victory for the Knicks tonight.
That indeed it most certainly was. And Josh Hart, those Villanova guys were unreal in this series. Hart shot just 31%. From three in the regular season. He shot 43% in this series, including three games with at least four threes. He never made that many in a game in the entire regular season for the Knicks. And this is the kind of thing that happens. We'll have Stephen A. Smith live in just a moment. But this is the kind of thing, this is the way teams wind up winning. In an era right now in the NBA where we look at these big threes that are all home watching the playoffs, it's about having a star like Jalen Brunson put the team on his back and then having everyone else do their part, know their part, and be a star in their role. And I think the Knicks really exemplify that this year.
And I think we can't overlook what you just said, the Villanova guys. You saw them pointing up. What were they pointing at? There's two national championship banners hanging in that building. That's what they were pointing to. Those three guys have a chemistry about them. They have a podcast together. They just get along. They won championships in college. And putting them with Brunson created a culture that the Knicks haven't had in decades. Because you now have three guys in that locker room that are all about winning. Jay Wright has his fingerprints all over this as well because of how he coached them. And that has allowed the Knicks and allowed Brunson to emerge as a leader in that locker room and on the court. That has changed everything for this franchise.
It's also about matchups and timing. I mean, if Joel Embiid is not injured, we may be talking about this series differently.
But the Julius execution, Randle.
Same thing, I'm not making excuses. Yep. I'm just saying what the reality of it is, right, for all of them. So I really believe that the Knicks have a legitimate shot to get to an NBA championship. I know Boston will be the odds-on favorite. And I know that Indiana is going to pose a great big-time matchup. But you just look at me. Look, Jalen Brunson, OG Anunoby, the way they defend, Josh Hart. You have strong wings that can defend the likes of Boston. Not saying they'll succeed, but damn, they got a puncher's chance.
Okay, we're going to get into that as we go. But ladies and gentlemen, fasten your seatbelts because this is about to get bumpy. Live from Los Angeles,
Smoke
where he is 28 minutes away from First Take this morning, and that should be extraordinary. Stephen A., give us a taste of how we are
feeling
this morning.
You know, it's a beautiful day. I mean, it's just a beautiful, beautiful day. I mean, I know I'm in Southern California. It's still dark out here this time of morning, but damn it, I'm in a good mood. I was very worried about the New York Knicks, particularly some of their offensive struggles. I didn't like the way they blew. Game five, obviously, 28.6 seconds left. You got a six-point lead, you blow that. But Jalen Brunson obviously came through in a very, very big way. DiVincenzo came through in a very, very big way. But more importantly, collectively, defensively, the New York Knicks showed up. And I didn't like the fact they had a 22-point lead in the first quarter and ended up with being down by halftime, for crying out loud. But in the end, their guts, their grit, their hardcore mentality, their old school mentality came shining through. That's something that Alan Hahn has spoken to on many, many occasions about the New York Knicks during this series. And when I used to watch my man Jay Williams play college ball, he was one of them hardcore brothers. He didn't give a damn. Let's go. We ain't scared of anybody. We don't give a damn what the challenge is. We will overcome. We will adapt. We will overcome. That is what the New York Knicks did last night. And that is why they are going to the Eastern Conference semifinals. Sixers are down and out. Pacers are next. Now, I'm worried about them damn Pacers. I'm not going to front. I am worried about them damn Pacers. But damn it, we are what we are. New York, stand up. We here. We here.
Monday night is when game one of that series with the Knicks and the Pacers will be. We'll show you the highlight of how Indiana took out Milwaukee last night. But Stephen A., on the subject of Jalen Brunson, I've tried repeatedly to make the point this morning because everyone in this city where we work in New York is talking about one of the great performances in Knicks history. This goes way beyond that. Jalen Brunson just had one of the greatest postgame series that any player ever has. There are a million different ways that we contextualize that, but he's done things. Michael Jordan and Oscar Robertson, Stephen A., are the comparisons.
I would just ask you to pump the brakes. I mean, don't sit up there and knock and malign New York Knicks fans to holding on to this. We can't get general. We can't have the whole big scope perspective. Hell with all of that. It's so rare that we see a New York Knicks do this kind of stuff. We got to salivate over that. We got to hold on to that, okay? It's ours right now. It's ours right now. This is what we've been waiting for. You put the ball in this brother's hands, he makes good things happen, if not great things happen, okay? Kelly Oubre, give him a lot of credit. He was assigned to Jalen Brunson, and he was doing a relatively decent job, but a lot of times he was getting drawn into a situation where and ones because Jalen Brunson is so gifted with the basketball. He's such a cerebral player. You got to give credit where credit is due in that regard, no question about that. But in the end, what it comes down to is this. This is the kind of discussion that I think we got to have at this particular moment in time about Jalen Brunson. Somebody said up there, Mad Dog was getting on me the other day, Mad Dog Russo, when I said top five New York Knicks. And Mad Dog was like, what, are you crazy? I said post-championship, meaning post-1973. Over the last 50 years, he is, without question, a top five Knick. Mm-hmm. Over the last 50 years. Yeah. Now, you want to sit up there and Walt Clyde Frazier, Earl of Pearl Monroe, Bradley DeBusch and those boys, that's a Willis Reed, that's a different category. Damn it, that was championships. That's championships. Mm. We sitting up here excited because we in the second round. Okay, it's different. But the flip side to that is that since 1973, Jalen Brunson, one of the top five Knicks in history.
I mean, Bernard King, Patrick Ewing, Carmelo Anthony, right?
Carmelo Anthony.
Those are the only ones that you would even put in the discussion with him. Stephen A., as far as Brunson is concerned, we've been having this conversation this morning. Brian Windhorst said, in order to come up with a more significant free agent signing in relatively recent NBA memory, you got to go to guys like Shaq going to L.A. and LeBron making his decisions to go to South Beach.
And KD to go to State.
It has been that significant, the signing that they made.
Absolutely.
One that no one really liked at the time they did it.
Well, listen, first of all, it's KD going to Golden State. It's LeBron taking his talents to South Beach, okay? It's Shaq in the 90s going from Orlando. Jerry West pulled off a theft in the middle of the night and got him to Los Angeles. Okay, it's on that level. Make no mistake about it. But here's the biggest reason why. Because even though with LeBron, you were talking championships. KD, you were talking championships. Shaquille O'Neal going to Los Angeles, it ultimately became about championships, even though that wasn't the way it was initially when he had first arrived. Remember, they got swept by Utah when Kobe Bryant shot those air balls, God rest his soul. And then we ultimately see greatness from Kobe Bryant later on. In this particular instance, again, you got out of the first round, and you're in the second round of the playoffs. That's what you're doing if you're Jalen Brunson. The difference is that $104 million deal. Mm-hmm. Because right now, Jalen Brunson is playing like a $250 million player in today's NBA economy. It's not just that you got him. It's that you got him at that price, and you're also looking at the Dallas Mavericks, who did have Luka Doncic, but you're still saying to yourself, how did you not pay this kid $53 million? How did you not do that? Oh, by the way, when you refuse to pay him, the brother still set up there and assisted you in getting to the Western Conference Finals, which is the furthest that Luka Doncic had ever gone in his career. We know how spectacular Kyrie Irving is and what he's doing alongside Luka Doncic in a Dallas Mavericks uniform, but they ain't in the Conference Finals yet. They were in the Conference Finals when Jalen Brunson was there with Luka Doncic. How do you not pay him somewhere along the lines of $53 to $55 million? How did the Knicks sit up there and get away with giving him $104 million? Because we didn't see this. And that's what makes it so significant. He's
Great
basically
Kawhi
bargain basement price.
Yeah, I mean, they're
Hawaii to Toronto as well.
Those turn into championships and all the rest of that stuff. But let me get one more thing in here with you, Stephen A., before we, because obviously the celebration in New York, and you're the leader of all of that. But you got your start at the Philadelphia Inquirer. You know the Philadelphia sports scene as well as anybody. Joel Embiid, I mean, the guy on one leg, came back from the injury to the knee, played with Bell's palsy, had the migraine the other day, had the moments in this series where he looked very much like the villain. What are the right things to say about Joel Embiid this morning?
He's a warrior. He went out there on one leg and did the kind of things that very, very few humans can do. He's a spectacular talent. Make no mistake about that. But he cannot be the face of the franchise that you build around in the future. Be very clear about what I'm saying. I'm not saying get rid of Joel Embiid. I'm saying if you're a Philadelphia 76ers organization, you can't depend on his durability. He has proven to you that he is not durable enough to be relied upon on a consistent basis. So the person to build around is Maxi. He's the guy that you have to build around. And by that, I mean prioritize it along those lines. Joel Embiid has the skill set to adapt with whatever you do to help Maxi. But you have to prioritize Maxi, getting him signed, giving him a max deal, and building a culture and a roster around his skill set, because he's the one in all likelihood that's going to be on the court for you when it really, really counts, more so than Joel Embiid. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, and they go into an offseason with all this money to spend.
That's why I thought Paul George should be their target, because personality-wise, he will let Tyrese Maxey be that. Whereas I love the name Jimmy Butler, but Jimmy Butler is such an alpha that Tyrese will then fall underneath Jimmy Butler, and I don't want Tyrese to do that anymore.
These are a couple of the names, Stephen A. I know you're just getting up out there on the West Coast. Brian Windhorst's been talking about this morning, people that the Sixers might be able to acquire during what should be a fascinating offseason. But let's leave it in the right place for Stephen A. because he's got to get ready for his show. I got Knicks fans all over the place telling me, all right, now they're a big favorite against Indiana. Kristaps Porzingis is hurt. He's got the same injury as Giannis, and Giannis never came back, that the Knicks are going to the NBA Finals. Do you believe it?
No. We must crawl before we walk. Let's not get inside ourselves. Let's not be a typical Dallas Cowboy fan. You know, we're going to win the Super Bowl next year, right? No. We don't want to do that. We don't want to be like that, okay? What we want to do is take one step at a time. The Indiana Pacers are no joke. Remember, they're coached by a champion in Rick Carlisle. The man knows what he's doing. Remember, their defense might have been porous at certain intervals throughout this season. They've gotten a little bit better. They've got a champion in Pascal Siakam now. He knows a thing or two about performing on the big stage. We got to remember, you know, they got scorers. They got shooters. They got size at multiple positions. And I can't say enough about Miles Turner. We can't ignore the threat that he can be, because he can pull you away from the basket just like Embiid could. He can pull you away from the basket and drain some threes his damn self. The brother can play. Halliburton can play. Naismith can play. You got a whole bunch of these brothers that can score the ball. The Knicks will be favored. Their toughness, their grit, whatever. But I'm not dismissing Indiana. We have to be alert. We will be alert. And we will win this series, too. But it will not be easy.
That's where I know you're talking as a fan, S.A., because I never thought I would hear the day that Stephen A. Smith would say the cliche, we got to take it one game at a time.
One game at a time. Will this bring you back to New York, Stephen A.? Will this series bring you back to New York next week?
I will be back in New York. It won't be at the beginning of the next week. It'll be at the middle of the next week. But I shall return. Make no mistake about it. New York City, baby. Here
Monday,
I come. Oh, yeah.
Monday and Wednesday are games one and two of that series. You're the best, Stephen A. Thanks for coming in early and doing this. First Take starts in 17 minutes. You can just count on much, much, much more of that conversation. In the meantime, we have much more coming up here on this thrilling series and the rest of the NBA playoff picture, where we stand at this moment. That's next. Get up on ESPN.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And
Boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Back on Get Up. Wake up call, Ian Eagle. Do it.
Brunson, toss in. It is DiVincenzo. Too strong. Back to Hartenstein. To Hart. Ananobi. He's going to drive it. Oh!
That's a great call.
Grown man's jam.
For Ian Eagle. What? Come on.
Oh, gee.
See Joel Embiid's face afterwards? It's like he was disgusted at himself for even running into that.
For those who'll never know, I can't tell you how good that feels.
Dunking on somebody?
Yeah, I was just waiting
You've
for someone.
You've had so much experience in doing that?
Yes. Alan's so tired it didn't register I was kidding. Anyway, Alan got back at 2 o'clock in the morning
Alan
from Philadelphia
like, really?
Last night.
You dunked on somebody before?
What feels exactly? Being dunked on?
Exactly. Yes. In my basketball career, I've often been on the other side of that slam. In the meantime, now what happens? Next round. Pacers-Knicks, Monday, Wednesday, I believe are the only games that are scheduled. I was looking
Monday,
forward to this morning.
Friday, Sunday.
Oh, they'd schedule the three and
the
four.
The first four already, so the two in Indiana is Friday, Sunday afternoon.
Okay, so they will go ABC every Sunday other day. Boom, boom, yep. Boom, boom.
Yep.
And you see the Knicks are a significant favorite over the Pacers, who knocked out the Bucks last night. We did spend some time talking about what the future looks like for Milwaukee. That's not such a pretty picture. How about this one? Living here in New York, I can tell you, Chiney, the fans of this town, and I got people walking in here wearing Brunson jerseys this morning, the fans of this town have already put the Knicks in the Eastern Conference Finals. I think that is, Stephen A. just warned that was premature. How do you see the next series, Chiney?
They're not crazy. They're not crazy. I actually do favor the Knicks, as does the numbers, as you've seen just here. And the reason why I favor the Knicks is because, and it's this, you know, tale as old as time, the late, great Pat Summitt said it. You've heard me say it multiple times. Offense sells tickets. Defense wins games. Rebounding wins championships. In a series versus the Sixers that came down to 1 point, the rebounding was a separator. They got almost double second chance points in multiple contests. So for them to be able to carry not only not having to play perfect offense, but also carry their defense, I like the Knicks versus the Pacers because we know when the ball is in Jalen Brunson's hands, the game will slow down. The Pacers play with pace. And then also, this is a team that's just walking in confidently and they know they can destroy you on the boards. Now, the Pacers are one of the hottest offenses, but I do think the overall strengths of the Knicks squad will carry them through to the next round. So I see them in the finals as well, but don't tell Stephen A. yet.
The conference finals.
Minutes.
I assume you mean the conference finals, not necessarily putting them past
no.
Boston.
And put it out there. Go ahead. Say finals. Go ahead. Put it out there.
I said conference finals.
Yeah. And then Brian Windhorst, we will not get a prediction. We'll not ask a prediction because Wendy will be, I'm informed, Wendy will be covering that series every game. Wendy, what I assume this means, however, is because Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, Wendy in studio for Get Up. I'm making that invitation right now. How are we feeling about that, Wendy? Man, you'll be in New York.
Yeah, and I want to tell you that I covered the 2013 series in the second round between the Pacers and the Knicks when everybody thought the Knicks were going to the conference finals that year, and the Pacers came in and took game one behind their young star, Paul George. So just be very careful making assumptions. The Knicks, though, have earned this top seed and earned this home court and earned a little bit of time off, and that is going to be very important. Certainly, it's so tempting to look ahead because the Pacers are the sixth seed and Boston has been so dramatic, and that would be so great this year. But I'm just going to tell you that this is a real mix of styles in this round. The Knicks are the slowest-paced team in the league. The Pacers are the fastest-paced team in the league. Yep. Do not make assumptions. Do not jump ahead to Boston. That's my warning.
I think it's about control and tempo. I also think that the Knicks have to continue to dominate on the offensive glass. Indiana is one of the worst defensive rebounding teams. Considering the Knicks got 20 offensive rebounds last night, if you're able to slow down that pace and get second chance opportunities, that's where they make their mess.
And I thought of it when Wendy talked about the seeding here. People were suggesting on the last day of the regular season, and by people, I mean me, that the Knicks should not have won that day because it meant they were set up to have to play Philadelphia, much in the same way we talked about the Lakers having to play the Nuggets. Clearly, whoever was the two seed ran the risk of getting Philly, and that felt like the worst possible matchup you could get out of the Eastern Conference play-in, and it was, and you saw how tough the series was. But for the Knicks to take on that challenge, as they willingly did, and emerge, I think there's something to be said about that, too.
It's they always just simply play to win and let the cards fall where they may, which is, of course, I know you love the cliches, Jay. But this is what they wanted, and they want home court advantage. They want to be able to have a Game 1 and a Game 7 potentially in their building because they have this year kind of taken the building back. Usually it's the opponents that come in. And Wendy's right. I mean, I covered that series certainly as well back in 2013. The Knicks came out of a brutal first-round series with the Celtics that went longer than it should have, a little banged up, lost Game 1, lost momentum in the series. And the numbers that I worry about in this series with the Pacers, because I'm not looking ahead at all because I think this is a dangerous matchup for the Knicks. It's the 123 points per game they average in their wins in the series against the Bucks. It's the fact that they have good bench scoring and depth. One thing the Knicks are lacking now with all their injuries, they play seven players. That can get exhausting.
By the way, I go back a generation before that, as I know you guys remember it also, but Knicks Pacers to me also conjures up Reggie Miller at the Garden and all that stuff. There's a lot of history between these two teams. It should be very, very interesting to watch. We've got two interesting games tonight, both game sixes. We got Cavs Magic, 7 o'clock Eastern. Then we have Clippers Mavs that follows immediately. The Countdown crew will get your night started at 6:30 Eastern. Be watching for that. And with that late game in mind, let's do more or less, Jay Will. It's brought to you by ESPN Bet. The number on Luka Doncic tonight is 33.5 points. Which way are you going?
I'm going to go over.
Yeah.
I think Luka in the closeout scenario with the way Kyrie Irving's been playing, with Kawhi Leonard not coming back. And these deficits have been a really hard thing for the Clippers in this series. I think Luka's going to go off tonight.
The late game tonight, as I mentioned in the doubleheader on ESPN. So much fun. And we gave you a little taste of Stephen A. Smith, but he's coming in next here with First Take. He's going to be ready. Coming in hot. Are the Knicks a threat to go to the finals? Should the Sixers move on? Don't miss it. Stephen A., Big Perk, Chanae, and more. Top of the hour here on ESPN.
Ten seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Fired up and ready to go.
This is a Ben Stiller movie waiting to happen.
I was an elite kickball player at one point in my life.
I'm the captain now.
Is that McNutt?
This is a McMaybe.
We love when Jeff Darlington spins things.
It's so tiring. I mean, come on.
He's like an old, tired Rottweiler, and I'm just a chihuahua constantly.
You better be glad I love you like I do.
How old were you, Greeny?
I don't know. This is probably 15 years ago. So, I mean, I was, you know, in my early 20s.
If I'm a supervillain, none of this is scaring me.
Show everyone what you did earlier. Just made me feel very small.
If Brady plays for the Raiders this year, I'll shave my eyebrows.
Well, now we're all rooting for it.
Zach, why do you think the Knicks win tonight?
I don't know.
Brain fart, right? Want to move on from it.
Whoopsie.
BFFR. You know what that means?
Best friends forever, really?
No. Beef freaking for real.
Who is this?
Uh-uh. I got him freshman year in college. Mm-mm. He's so cute.
All I have for Andrea is BFFR. You've got to be kidding me right now.
I'm afraid of snakes. I don't like anything that can walk without legs.
I got another one for you. GTFOH. Look that one up, because that's how I feel about that one.
A fun week.
I'm messing with the snakes, man.
Fun morning. Allen's the MVP again. Got back from Philly 2 o'clock in the morning, my man. Thank you for doing this. The fun continues. Fasten your seatbelts, folks. Here comes Stephen A.
Oh, boy.
First Take now.